Good evening. Y'all can pick out a pick of him if you want. I might not have turned on the mains. I think I might have forgot that. We don't have everything programmed. Did that get it? Yeah, that got it. All right, praise the Lord. That's great. Well, great to see y'all here this evening, and I hope y'all are keeping safe if you're in that temporary weather we had. And welcome those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing "That's What We Came Here For." We come into your presence with singing, come into your presence with praise, and into your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. We come into your presence with singing, come into your presence with praise, and into your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, power is on its way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, and that's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for. Everything within me reaches out to you. Your power and majesty, grace and mercy too. They'll be singing and dancing, hearts and voices raised. You have set your people free. Now the house is filled with praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, and that's what we came here for. And you deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise, and that's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise. 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 Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Amen. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, wondrous words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. Find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. sitting at the feet of Jesus. Is there anywhere more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrow, and when weary find his rest. While I from his fullness gather grace and comfort for today. Bless me, O my Father, down in love upon me. Let me catch a glimpse of you. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me whole word. May I prove I've been with Jesus, been with him, my risen Lord. Amen. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? Yep. 772. All righty. When we all get to heaven, 772. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others? All right.
House cleaning. Amen. All right. Well, how about that rain out there, huh? Amen. We're getting some, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll take it. We'll take it. We'll be begging for it here in a couple months, right? Oh, yeah. Amen. What do we have in the area of praises? Yes, ma'am.
My sister had one of her second surgeries, and it went very well.
All
and
right.
She got another one to go.
Bill's surgery went well. That's great. What else? Other praises? Anybody? Praises back here in the back there, Jeremiah? Nothing? All right. Very good. On to prayer requests. What we got?
Pray for Ron's sister, Lorna.
Lorna?
He has a biopsy tomorrow.
That's right. I called Lorna today. Spent a few moments on the phone with her, had prayer with her, and so I told her we'd be praying for her tonight. So Lorna Wade, we're going to lift her up. We're praying for a treatable cancer, that God would heal her. Amen?
Amen.
All right. What else?
Pray for our shut-ins.
Amen.
Those that couldn't make it tonight because of the weather.
That's right, shut-ins. And then
pray for Ann and Fred Redman.
Yeah, what's going on with Ann and Fred?
She's having some health issues, and Fred is too, and they're both being loving and deserving of each other, you know, and makes it tough on each of them.
Yes, sir. All right, Fred and Ann.
But they're going to say everything's all right.
Absolutely. We're doing fine, man. We're doing fine. All right.
Speaking of Sunday, Brother Lee, don't forget we have
Taco
luncheon.
Taco Tuesday on Sunday.
Taco luncheon after the morning service. And
Taco Tuesday on Sunday is what I'm
calling. We're going to be having an Easter egg hunt.
An Easter egg hunt. Taco Tuesday on Sunday. What kind of meat are we having?
Taco meat.
Taco. I stepped right into that one, didn't I? We're having Easter meat. Well, you got a prayer request back here? All right. Vince gets his biopsy results.
I think it was his brains coming out of his forehead, sir. But
biopsy results tomorrow. All right. And Fred?
Pray for Ronnie Vaclet, too.
Yeah. Ronnie Vac.
He never says he's really in pain, but he is, we could tell.
Still in pain? All right. Pain management.
I'll obviously pray for the victims of this weather, too, throughout the country.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw this evening on the news that so far this year we've had 435 tornadoes that have hit.
Wow.
And most of them are in the Ohio Valley,
yeah, right.
Southeast, kind of moved away from Oklahoma and Kansas.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Jeremiah, you got one?
Yeah, pray for Lori's friend, Felicia. Her daughter, Brooke, went to the hospital, and so pray for her healing.
Felicia's daughter.
Yeah, Brooke.
Brooke. Hospital. We're praying for healing?
Yes.
Do we know what exactly is wrong?
Ovary cyst.
Oh, yeah. Man, been there, done that. Bless her heart. All right. She doesn't have ovarian torsion, does she? You don't know? Was she in a lot of pain?
They gave her a lot of meds, but she's only 12.
Oh, bless her heart. Okay.
Gave her a lot of meds. She's only 12.
All right. Very insist.
Yeah, if it gets bad, she'll go back and they'll see if it's cancerous.
Okay. All right, Felicia's daughter, Brooke, ovarian cyst. Is she home from the hospital?
Yes.
Home. All right.
Play for Miss Vicky's back.
Miss Vicky's back, all right.
I caught part of it on my phone. I tried to look it up. There was an axe attack. A couple of people killed. A few injured. I didn't catch where it was, though. People were attacked with an axe.
Really? In Houston?
No, not here. I don't know. I was trying to look it up. I couldn't find it yet. You heard about it?
Yeah. An axe attack.
Yeah.
A quick search says, maybe in Brazil at a daycare center.
Brazil?
Oh, daycare.
In a daycare center.
Yeah, southern Brazil.
Oh, my soul. All right, Brazil.
Need to pray for Israel, too. They're having some internal unrest right now.
Yeah, every year they have Ramadan.
Yeah.
They have unrest over there. So Israel, it's the two competing holidays, Passover and Ramadan.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We're Muslim. No, we're Jewish. We're Jewish. No, we're Muslim. They just go back and forth.
Yeah.
Israeli-Palestinian relations.
Pray for our country. Pray for the world. To be honest with you, they're...
Yeah.
They're all coming up with different excuses as to why they want to go to war.
Yeah, I'm proud of Finland. Saw what Finland did, didn't you? They're part of NATO now. So.
And I failed to mention a praise, by the way, Earl Manning's wife, Barbara Manning, from Volunteer Christian Builders.
Uh-huh.
They've got her on solid food.
All right, man.
She's been on solid food for 2 weeks now, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll give her the strength that she needs.
Right.
Back in her legs again. And
continue to rehab?
She's still in rehab, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Way to go, Barbara Manning. Amen. Yeah, you got one back there?
Yeah, I guess I might as well mention a praise for our colleague at the college, Arnaldo, that we prayed for cancer.
Yeah.
He's doing much better from what I hear, so that's okay. Really good.
Is he in remission, or is he healed or cured?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I know he's doing a lot better. One thing that was shared was, like, he said the worst thing bugging him was, like, his toe or, like, a toenail or a hangnail or something like that, you know. So, yeah, apparently he's doing much better.
All right, man. All right. Is that got the cover the bases? All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to intercede on behalf of others and lift up these praises to you tonight. We do thank you for these praises, Lord. We're thankful for Miss Bicky's sister, Bill. We're thankful for her surgery. It went well. We pray that you prepare our body, Lord, to undergo another surgery. But, Lord, we're thankful that this one's been successful and has accomplished some of what the doctors designed and desired it to accomplish. So, Lord, we just pray that you heal Miss Vicky's sister's body up and get it ready for this next surgery. But we give you praise and glory for this one. We are thankful and praiseful for Arnaldo doing better from his cancer. And, Lord, although we don't know the details, we know he's some better, and we just give you praise and glory for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're the great physician and that cancer is not a death sentence. We know who can heal us. We know who can touch us. And so, Lord, we just pray and continue to pray for Arnaldo, but we're thankful for this good report here tonight. And then, Lord, we're thankful for Miss Barbara Manning able to take solid food. We pray that will help with her strength and rehab, and that, Lord, even though this rehab's taken quite some time, that she would just get better each and every day, better each and every week. And, Lord, just make some improvement from month to month until she is back to full health. We pray you just continue to touch her body. Be with Miss Barbara, Lord, and help her as she goes through that rehab process from having that stroke. And then, Lord, as we think about our prayer request, we lift up Lorna to you tonight. And, Lord, as we prayed over the phone, we pray that whatever this growth is or cancer is, Lord, whatever it may be, we pray it's treatable. And, Lord, it may be experimental drugs. It may be regimen drugs that they have right now. But, Lord, we just pray that it's treatable. And, Lord, even in the midst of all the biopsy and Lord, cancer and or growths in different areas of her body, Lord, by the power of you, by the blood of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we just pray now that you begin to shrink those areas. And, Lord, we might pray for a total remission, a total healing. And, Lord, you say we have not because we ask not. We're asking tonight. And we're praying on behalf of Lorna, Lord, and we're just praying that you put your healing hand upon her. We lift up our shut-ins to you, Lord, and pray you keep them safe and watch over them, help them with their mobility issues and getting around and getting what they need for day-to-day living, get to the doctor and back, all those different challenges they have. We're thankful for them, Lord. We're thankful that they're with us online and they get to participate each and every service with us that they desire. But Lord, we just lift our shut-ins up to you tonight. We pray for those that wanted to be here that didn't make it on account of the rain and the hailstorm. Pray you watch over them. Keep them safe, Lord, and draw them back to us next Wednesday night. We lift up Ann and Fred to you. We pray for their combined health issues, Lord, both of them with health challenges and health issues. We pray that you would encourage them, Lord, and touch their bodies. And Lord, just give them good Sundays. They want to come to church. They want to be in God's house with God's people, Lord. So I pray you bless them. Lord, they've been faithful to your church. They've been faithful to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you bless them with good weekends. Help them get where they want to go, and that's church. Lord, we lift up Vince to you, and we're praying in advance for his biopsy results tomorrow. We pray that everything's gone. There's no cancerous growth. There's just nothing. It's a good report. We pray that he not have to go back under the knife for further removal of tissue. And then we lift up Brother Ronnie to you, Lord. We're praying for his pain management, all the different issues that Ronnie's got from his feet all the way up to his ears. We just pray, Lord, that you touch his body. Give him rest tonight. Give him rest the rest of this week. Pray, Lord, you just help him continue to go forward for you and to keep moving for you and to keep serving you, God. Thank you for his service here at the church, Lord. We just pray you touch him and you help him do what he desires to do for the kingdom. Lord, we lift up all the different victims of these different weather events that have happened over the last several weeks. People have lost literally every physical possession they might have had. Lord, some people have lost their lives. Whole communities have been wiped off the map. Lord, we pray that you help these folks, you help them rebuild. Lord, we pray in the midst of all this loss that there would be a Christian witness. There would be a testimony of grace. There would be a gospel proclamation. And Lord, those that are without hope might receive hope. Those that are lost in the midst of all this might receive Christ and be saved. And Lord, they can look back on this tragedy of weather, look back on this horrific thing that happened to their community or happened to their neighborhood, and they can say, that's when I met Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray out of all this loss, you might bring some salvations and some glory to yourself in the midst of all this. We lift up Felicia's daughter to you tonight, Brooke. And Lord, we pray that you might touch her little body and this cyst on her ovary, Lord. You might begin to shrink that and bring that back to normality. And so, Lord, we pray for Brooke tonight. Pray you touch her. And then Miss Vicky's back and Brother John Thornhill's back, Lord. We lift them up to you. We pray you touch them. Give them relief. Lord, help them sleep the right way and get up the right way and walk the right way and all those different things, Lord, not to twist and tweak and hurt that back. And, Lord, just help them be cautious when they're going to pick something up. Just watch over them with those back issues. And then, Lord, we pray for this horrific news we just received about this axe attack in Brazil at a daycare center. Father God, we pray you'd comfort those people and help those folk make sense of everything going on there. Lord, we pray that the victims would get help, and Lord, that the one that has perpetrated the crime would come to justice. And Lord, we pray that these little babies would just not be scarred for life. So Lord, we lift that situation up to you as well. Lord, the Israeli-Palestinian relations this time of year, we're praying for peace in the midst of all the upheaval, and Lord, just all the craziness that goes on with Ramadan and then with Passover starting today. Lord, we just pray that cooler heads would prevail, and Lord, people would just quit beating on each other over there. They would just walk away and worship, one worship the way they want to worship and the other one worship the way they want to worship, Lord, and just have some peace in the midst of all that right now. Lord, we're thankful for Finland and joining NATO, Lord. We continue to pray for Ukraine and everything going on with them, with Russia trying to take parts of their country or take their country over. We lift up, Lord, our country. We pray for revival here, God. We pray for a good Easter, Lord. We pray that it'd be a beautiful Sunday this coming Sunday. Lord, in the midst of all of it, we pray the egg hunt would go good. And Lord, there'd be sweet fellowship after the service. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can be in it tonight. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are continuing on in our series of messages on the book of Leviticus, and we are trying to work to the Day of Atonement, chapter 16. That's where we're trying to get to. But before we get there, we've got to go through these other chapters that we've kind of been working in, and that's Leviticus chapter 12 through 15. And just to kind of review you a little bit, and remember, I think I gave you 15 to read on your own, because some things in the Bible just don't need to be read in mixed company. And so Leviticus 15 and then 14, 12? I'm trying to think now. 12 and 14 were on skin issues, and then 13 and 15 were on reproductive issues and uncleanliness that goes with that. I'll just give you a little review, and then we'll continue on with what we have for tonight. Last time, as we were in it, we talked about how the regulations of Leviticus concerning sex-related or physical intimacy-related uncleanness serve the important purpose of separating physical intimacy or sex from religious worship. Remember, that was a big issue back in Old Testament times, how they would try to, pagan groups would try to bring those two things together, physical intimacy and worship. If one had sexual relations, this is for a Jew or Israelite, if one had sexual relations with his wife, we talked about how this rendered both of them unclean until evening. Well, what does that mean? This meant that the Israelites could not have physical intimacy with their spouse during the Sabbath, since this would cause both to be unclean, thus prohibiting their participation in worship, right? The effect was to encourage the Israelites to keep their minds devoted to worship. Ideally, we mentioned this, both sexual intimacy, physical intimacy, and spiritual intimacy require what? It requires the undistracted involvement of the body, the soul, and the spirit, right? So, you know, when you're doing one, you're doing that thing, right? And when you're doing another, you're doing this thing over here. They ought to be separate, because it takes all of you to do one or the other. Make sense? Yes? This means that either activity should be engaged in apart from the competition of the other. And we talked about this. One can see a similar theme in Paul's practical instructions to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, the separation of physical intimacy, sexual activity, and worship was particularly important to the Israelites because of the pagan worship rituals of what people group? Remember, we talked about them, the Canaanites. Remember the Canaanites, right? What did they do? Well, they had this fertility cult. And in the midst of that fertility cult, they engaged in carnal sexual union as an act of worship. We gave you the reference. I think we might have went and read it, Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9. Now, this was a practice into which the Israelites had already once fallen. They had already taken on some of this Canaanite, pagan, carnality, sexual ritual in their pagan worship. They had already done that. You remember that the Israelites, they had one foot in the tabernacle, and they had one foot over here with the Canaanites, and God didn't like that. Remember that? Right. So this was a practice into which these Israelites had once fallen. Exodus chapter 32, verse 6 says, "So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." And that rose up to play is reference to that Canaanite worship. If the clean, unclean legislation, if the clean, unclean legislation did no more than to create a wide gap between sex, physical intimacy, and worship, it did the Israelites a great favor. And so that's kind of where we ended. We said the clean, unclean legislation around physical intimacy distinguished their worship from that of their pagan neighbors, right? God's people are distinct, yes? God's people are different, yeah? Amen? God's people are peculiar in a good way, amen? That'd be the point, right? So the question still remains. The question still remains. This thing that Pastor Lee was struggling with, I mentioned to you I was struggling with. The question remains, why was the Israelite woman, remember this? Why was she punished twofold for bearing a girl child, right? If she had a boy child, she was unclean for a certain amount of time. If she had a girl child, well, double it. Remember, I got three girls, man. I was kind of scratching my head going, what up? What's going on with that? Well, in digging it out, I've got only one explanation, which is similar in nature to the reason for separating physical intimacy from worship. The reason is not to be found as much in the cause of the uncleanness as it is in the result this uncleanness will have in the life of the Israelite woman. What you talking about, Willis? What you mean by that, Pastor? Well, from one of my commentaries, the twofold doubled period of uncleanness will cause the Israelite mother of a girl child to ponder the reasons for her plight. Her plight. Why is a woman singled out for uncleanness in the birth of the child, and especially so when the child is a female like her? In other words, what is that about womanhood that merits this curse? And I've just given it away, if you were listening, right? I just gave it away. This word curse supplies us with the key to my struggles and to your struggles. The long period of isolation should have given the Israelite mothers a fair period of time to ponder why women should be cursed as they are. Now, we're all cursed. Amen? Yeah. I believe that Genesis chapter 3 supplies her with a good part of the reason. Genesis 3. This chapter could have provided her with ample food for thought and taught her not only the way in which a woman participated in the fall, but even led in the fall of man, but also the ways, especially involving childbirth. Didn't the Lord say, man, childbirth going to be a time for you now, right? And childbirth, Miss Vicki, isn't it a time when you're having a baby? Yeah, those of you that have had babies, it's a time. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been there for four births, and it doesn't look like anything I want to do. Amen? I'm just saying. You girls can have that one, right? Tapping out. Time we got to the fourth one, I couldn't even hardly keep my legs underneath me. It was so overwhelming, right? Amen? You understand what we're talking about, right? Now, that gets us to the heart of the matter, right? The heart of the matter. Mankind is a fallen mankind, fallen from grace, right? Now, let us return to the great and pressing problem which confronts us in all these chapters on cleanliness and uncleanliness, right? These chapters that deal with the clean and the unclean. Why is a person declared unclean and caused to suffer for something for which he or she is not responsible? Further, why in some cases of uncleanness was a sin offering required when no specific sin was committed by the one making the offering? Now, I would begin by suggesting that these questions are precisely those which God intended the Israelite to ask and to meditate upon as they suffered the consequences of their undeserved uncleanness. Now, did I ask to be born? Me? No. Did you ask to be born? But you were. Amen? And guess how you were born? You were born because of Adam and Eve's fall. You were born into sin. Right. Nobody asked me if I wanted to be born into sin. I just was born into sin. I was born into a fallen world just like you were born into a fallen world. The demands of the law of Moses, summarized by the Ten Commandments, demanded or forbade, look at the Ten Commandments, demanded or forbade specific actions. The violation of any of these commandments would have been evident, and no one could question the consequences which befell the Israelite, which came upon the Israelite for disobedience. But why would God bring the curse of uncleanness upon an Israelite for suffering from a condition for which he or she was not responsible? It'd be the fall of man. Can an Israelite woman be blamed for bearing a child? Can't blame her for that. Can an Israelite woman be blamed for having a monthly cycle? You can't blame her for that, right? Is this a matter which falls under her control? Well, the answer is evidently no. Well, how then can some conditions result in suffering for an Israelite and even require a sin offering as though a wrong was committed? Well, I've been dancing around it all night. The answer to the question, why must the Israelite suffer when no wrong has been committed by the individual, is answered by this principle. We've talked about it in depth before. It is the fall of man as recorded in Genesis 3. The fall of man has done nothing but brought chaos and suffering to all creation, including mankind. Including mankind. The fall has rendered man inherently sinful from birth. Now, I've gone through a lot of schooling in my day, but nobody had to teach me how to sin. Man, I had that thing figured out. I mean, I had the diploma. I had the diploma when I screened my first scream. I had it, right? I had the diploma how to sin, right? Thus, man sins because he is a sinner. So, too, he will suffer in life because he lives in a fallen world where the consequences of sin cause chaos and suffering. Still with me? So this principle occurred to me as I was thinking about the words of David in Psalm 51, as I'm thinking about what's going on here with the woman and double uncleanness because of that baby girl. And I'm thinking about all this. Well, what did they do? Why do they have to bring, what's going on here? Well, David kind of helps us in Psalm 51. Now, note the terms which are similar to those we have seen in Leviticus pertaining to uncleanness. I'm going to read to you Psalm 51, 1 through 3, and then verse 7 of Psalm 51. The Word of God reads this, Psalm 51, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God." That's a good prayer, amen? "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness." That's great, man. "According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Oh, that's Leviticus language right there. "For I know my transgressions." Leviticus language. "Purify me with hyssop." Leviticus language. "And I shall be clean." Leviticus language. "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, David, he loved the law of God. David, we know from the Bible, he meditated upon it constantly. Now, David, whether or not he authored Psalm 119, it's debatable whether he did or not. This is apparent in the Psalms which he did write. Psalm 19 he did write, we know. We know that the background to Psalm 51 is the sin of what? It's the sin of David with Bathsheba and then his murder of Uriah, her husband. As David speaks of his sin, however he sees his specific sins as evidence of his more general sinful state. Again in Psalm 51, David makes this statement, Psalm 51:5. We've read 51, 1 through 3, 51, 7. Now we're going back to, and we're reading Psalm 51:5. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." Yeah. "And in sin, my mother conceived me." Does that make sense? Yes. David acknowledged his specific sin, but he went even further by confessing his innate, his inherited sinfulness, which was the result of the fall. Amen? David understood that he was unclean even from birth. His specific act of sin with Bathsheba was the outgrowth of his innate sinful condition, the condition in which he was found at birth, right? Sinners like me and you, we need help, don't we? His name is Jesus, amen? And the power that he gives us is the Holy Spirit, yes? And the direction he gives us is the Word of God, yes, yes, amen? I mean, we need all the help we can get. If his own acts of sin did not render him a sinner at birth, whose sin did? The answer is the sin of Adam. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, 13 and 14 reads this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. In this passage, Paul teaches us that Adam's sin has constituted that all of his offspring, all of mankind, are born sinners. We inherit this sin nature and are thus born sinners, just as David indicates in this psalm. Later in Romans, Paul informs us that the entire creation has been adversely affected by the fall, and that creatures like mankind, like me and you, we suffer and groan in this fallen condition and will continue to do so until the kingdom of God is established with a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18 through 23, reads this. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. The laws of uncleanness were instructive tools by means of which God taught the Israelites those truths fundamental to the religious faith." Now, one of those truths was that what was what we now call the doctrine, and this is what I was referring to when I said this earlier, the doctrine of the depravity of man. The doctrine of the depravity of man. Man is born a sinner by virtue of being a child of Adam. We're all born a sinner. Now, so when the Israelite asked himself or herself, "Why should I be unclean for a condition I did not cause?" The answer contained in the first chapters of Genesis was because of the sinful condition you inherited from your forefather, Adam. That's why. That's why you're unclean. That's why you need to be cleansed. Guess what? I'm going to clean you. Amen? I'm going to clean you. God saying that, right? As you stop and think about it, most of the conditions which caused the state of uncleanness were those which resulted from the fall. All sickness and death is the result of the fall, friend. It's the result of the fall. Childbearing is at least related to the curse. Physical intimacy between a man and a woman was distorted and diminished by the fall to the point that men want to be intimate with men and women want to be intimate with women and all other kinds of crazy stuff. Physical intimacy was distorted and diminished by the fall to the point where Adam and Eve were ashamed. Remember, they were ashamed of their nakedness and they fled from God. Yeah. Therefore, you need to understand that this first view, that physical intimacy was dirty and unacceptable to God, that did not originate with God. That originated with man as a result of the fall, not God. Thus, we can say that uncleanness was a condition resulting from the fall. Uncleanness is a condition resulting from sin. And thus, uncleanness required a sin offering. Yes, yes, amen. Now, so as the Israelite offered up the sin offering due to uncleanness, he or she also acknowledged their sinful condition inherited from Adam. And all of this, every single bit of this we share tonight, I'll fold it back in on this. And this is where we'll end it. Yeah, this is where we'll end right here. You can't get right until you know you're wrong. I mean, an addict can't get help until he knows he's an addict and he needs help. A lost man can't get saved until he knows he's a sinner headed for hell and that he needs the grace of God poured into him. Right? Well, these people, they couldn't begin to understand cleanliness and clean and the ability to approach God in a holy fashion, in a holy manner, until they understand how dirty they are and that they need to be clean. Their fault? Oh, quit pointing the finger, man. We're born into this. Whose fault is it? Well, it's my fault. And it's your fault. And it's everybody's fault. We're born into this. You saying I got a problem? I'm saying, friend, we all got a problem. Every single one of us got a problem. But praise the Lord, we got a solution. Amen. And this coming Easter Sunday, I'm going to preach on the solution. You know what that solution is, friends? I have talked about it. I have talked about the solution for almost 30 years. But I've never preached a message just on the solution. I thought, you know, I'm on the back nine. I better get this message preached before, you know, it's too late. So I'm preaching on it. Amen. I've always talked about the scarlet thread of redemption that runs from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Well, I'm preaching on it Sunday. The scarlet thread. Now, you can take each and every book, that would be 66, and show the scarlet thread. We don't have that much time. But I'm going to hit some high points. And amen, let me tell you something. That scarlet thread, it runs through that empty tomb. It runs through that empty tomb, right? Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Right? He arose victorious from the dark domain. Amen? And he lives forever. And if we will, and I'll say this again on Sunday, if we'll take that thread that God throws out to us, we'll live with him forever. But you got to take the thread, the scarlet thread. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the ground we've covered. Lord, we're trying to get through these difficult chapters, uncomfortable content. But Lord, it's your word, and we're going to cover it. And we're thankful for it. And we're thankful for being reminded again that, Lord, without you, we are simply nothing. Without you, we are sinners with no hope. But with you, we are sinners saved by grace. Oh, that has such a beautiful ring to it. We are sinners that are heaven bound. We are sinners whose penalty we carry no more. For we know the penalty was put on you. And your blood, it covers us and washes us as white as snow. So we praise you and we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. We thank you for what this Sunday represents to so many believers across the land. Lord, we pray it would be a safe one, that the crazies, Lord, with the guns would stay at home, that, Lord, we would have a blessed, rejoicing time of your resurrection. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you do for us. Give us safety as we depart this place on this damp, wet night. We're thankful for the rain. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, you folks are dismissed. See you later online, folks.